All right, this is take three. In the first take, I sounded way too stiff and like I was talking to someone I didn't even know. And in the second take, my dogs decided it would be super fun to start barking. So this is the third and final take. I am uploading it as is. Sorry if it's long and not on point and all that other stuff. All right. Hi, and good evening. I am Lily Kane, and I haven't recorded for 2 years. I'm rusty and inexperienced and eager to jump back into it. I would love to start recording my fantasies and little special moments I have, especially now that I have some free time and privacy. That was the main issue for me. I had no privacy as well as commitments that just took up most of my time. But I have a lot of free time in the next couple weeks, so you're stuck with me. I figured a questions and answers audio would be a good way to go back into it. Hopefully it's not too boring. I've done a few of these before, but I had to remove them because you know how much I like to talk and reveal information about myself that would be very easy for anybody in the world to track me down. As it happens, I'm not too interested in getting stalked and murdered, only a little interested. So I decided to make those private for now, and hopefully I can rein myself in and keep myself under control so this one can stay up. This is by no means going to be the sexiest, hottest, raunchiest recording I've made. No way. It might be a little tame and boring like it is right now. I'm just talking, but I know that there are a few people who enjoy listening. And I asked for some questions on literotica.com, which is where I post some somewhat nude photos of me. You can just search Lily Kane and I'm sure it'll come up. I'm not sure. I've never done it myself. But yeah, I have some questions. I have about 16 of them, and I'm going to do my best to answer them while using my little pink butterfly vibrator. And hopefully by the end of it, I will have come. Yep. But it's not a guarantee, and I'm not going to fake anything for the sake of an audio, but we'll see. I usually have to be reading some kind of story in order to come. That's the way it's always been. But it has happened before when I'm recording, and it just happens. Thinking of people listening to me and wanting me, I mean, who doesn't want that, right? So it's all very intoxicating. It might also help that I haven't eaten for a while. I'm going to make dinner after this. So I'm also kind of eager to do this, and then I can eat, which is as real as it's going to get, a girl saying she'd rather eat than come. But anyway, I hope you enjoy this. Please let me know if you have any suggestions or comments. I appreciate everything I get, even if I don't respond right away. I read it, I love it, I really appreciate it, and I do my best to respond. Okay, so thank you to everyone who made comments and suggestions about this audio, about what I should wear and what questions I should answer. About what I should wear, it was a pretty mixed bag of answers. Half of you wanted me in stockings and heels and done up, which is understandable, I get it. And the other half just wanted me to be comfortable and whatever I felt most sexy in, which is nice. So I think I went with a mix of both. I'm wearing a too small for me black sheer lacy bra. I'm wearing black lacy panties. Well, it's a thong actually. And it has a little red bow on it. And I'm wearing a black lacy bodysuit, one piece. And over all that, I'm wearing a black fuzzy robe. I do have some black heels out. I'm not wearing them, honestly. But I could put them on, and I'll probably take a few pictures to upload them to Lit if, you know, I'm not starving. But that's what I'm wearing. And my hair is up in a bun because I just took a shower and I'm lazy. Anyway, if it helps to know, my nails are painted black and my toenails are painted a dark purple. I don't know, but that's just another thing about me. Alrighty, so 5 minutes, 6 minutes into this, I'm going to start. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you like this. Alright, I'm going to start the vibrator off on setting number one. Buzz, buzz, buzz. And I'm actually just going to move my panties to the side instead of taking them off because, again, lazy. And, okay. Alright, number one. Describe your perfect oral experience. Disclaimer, I've never really experienced oral sex, but here's my fantasy land dream. So I would be bent over the side of the bed, I think. So my ass is up and my pussy's exposed. And I'd have whoever behind me using their hands to open me up and see how wet and excited I was. He'd start kissing my thighs and working his way up to my pretty little pussy that was wet and hot and so needy to be touched, but he won't touch me there yet, not with his fingers, or his mouth, or his tongue. He completely ignores my need, and continues kissing my skin, my ass, my legs, until I'm wiggling and begging for him to finally just touch me. At least just touch me. Oh. And he'd spread me apart. And he'd start with slow, long licks. Starting from my clit down to my dripping, needy little hole until he reached my tiny pink little asshole, and he'd continue over and over, getting slower and slower until I was begging and crying again for him to please, please, please just taste my pussy. Oh. And I imagine him just grabbing me and burying his face deep, deep inside of me. His tongue would feel like it was everywhere inside of me. On my clit. I got a little distracted. Let's move on to question number two. When did your daddy fetish start? Well, That is one of the main things, or I should say only things, I can remember being interested in sexually when I was younger. I'm always nervous to say how young I was when I was introduced to the whole daddy thing, but I was fairly young, and I was introduced to it through role-playing on an online video game. And from there, I Googled it and found Lit, actually, and started reading the stories. But, all right, when did it start? Yeah, so when I was pre-puberty, honestly. In addition to that question is, why do I like being daddy's little girl so much, which I'm going to assume references the age play that I enjoy. It could be because of how young I was when I was introduced to the fetish, or it could just be because I like the idea of being naive and helpless and innocent with a completely opposite daddy who's mean and knowledgeable and not innocent at all. But why do I enjoy it? I don't know. I just do. I think most girls at some point in their lives just want to be daddy's little girl. So I'm just the equivalent of Peter Pan. Kind of. Let's go with that. Number three, am I going to go crazy waiting for the final season of Game of Thrones? Alright, this is the only non-sexual question I included. Because I am so excited for Game of Thrones that I will probably go crazy. That's the only answer I have for that. I need to watch it. And I can't believe it's going to take forever to do so. And I also can't believe that the episodes are cut short again. But now's not the time for this. So number four. Describe the first time you tried something new sexually and discovered how much you enjoyed it. First time I tried something new sexually. It might come as a surprise that I haven't actually done that much when it comes to sex. We'll see. I really enjoyed being penetrated, in all holes, I guess. My ex-boyfriend liked to think about me being used, which I enjoyed, of course. And we had these clear dildos that were also suction cups. Suction cupped. So I think one night after drinking probably a little bit too much, I was convinced to use the smallest one of those, which I think was 4 inches, in my ass, and the largest one, which I think was close to 7 inches, but it was very thick, like way too thick. And we used that one for my mouth while my ex-boyfriend fucked me. And it was this overwhelming pleasure I can't even explain. It was, I think, the first time, maybe the second time, I've ever squirted while doing anything, not just having sex, but I never squirt while masturbating. But it was just amazing. It felt like I was brain dead. I'm sure the alcohol helped, but I could feel everything so intensely, but at the same time, I couldn't pinpoint where the pleasure was coming from. It was all over. So that was definitely very fun, and I think it would be fun to experience that in reality, maybe. Yeah. Number five. Does expressing your sexuality online encourage you to experience your kinks in reality? Well, it has been an awful long time of me expressing who I am as a sexual being online, and I haven't really experienced any of my kinks or fetishes in reality. That is probably because I had a boyfriend for a very long time who wasn't as kinky as I was, I guess. But ever since we broke up, I haven't sought out any experiences. I'm enjoying being single right now, and I'm also not too eager to start having one-night stands that are disappointing, or, you know, I'm not. But I think expressing myself online has definitely helped me understand that everybody has some kind of interest or kink that they might think is embarrassing or life-ruining, but in reality, we all have something, and you know, that's what makes us not boring. I would say this is the most exciting thing about me is my online persona, Lily Kane. I'm able to express myself freely and openly, and I get so much positive feedback because I'm honest and real about it. I'm not faking it just for the attention, which I hope I can transfer into real life as well. Number six. What turns you on that you've always been too ashamed of to admit? Well, I guess I would have to admit it right now, wouldn't I? So maybe it's not the real answer. No, I'm not. I'm not gonna lie. Lately, or not lately, for as long as I can remember, reading the more hardcore daddy-daughter stories that are involve age play and rape, which is something I'm interested in fantasy-wise, sometimes they will also include some... I don't think there is a delicate way to say it. It would include some piss play. Specifically, the daddy using his daughter's mouth to urinate in. And it's usually used as a humiliation tactic or degradation. I just can't say some words. I hope you know what I mean. It's just embarrassing, and I think that's why I have started to enjoy reading those stories. It's just really naughty and dirty and foreign and taboo, so not really that surprising that I've started I've evolved again into something I thought I would never really be interested in. Never say never. As for wanting to taste or drink pee, it's not something I'm interested in. It's just the force and the humiliation behind it that definitely gets me excited. So that's something to think about. Number seven. Describe what would make a romantic date perfect in your eyes. If you're listening and you've known me for a while, you probably know that I am not focused on romance and lovey-dovey fantasies. But I can get into a mood where I'm sweet and soft and I just want to be hugged and all that silly girly stuff. So my perfect romantic date, I would really enjoy just the classic date, you know, when you think of a movie or a TV show where the guy picks up the girl and, you know, he's wearing a nice, maybe not a suit, but, you know, nice button up, and I could be wearing sort of a fancy dress, and we could go to a restaurant, and I would love for my meal to actually be ordered for me, just to have that control taken away from me. And during the date, we could talk about anything, everything. I really do enjoy having intimate conversations and learning secrets about people. So I think that would be fun. Obviously get dessert. I am a dessert girl. I don't like caramel, but I do like chocolate, so I'm sure there's something chocolate on the menu. There always is. And then after dinner, I don't think I would want to go dancing. What would I want to do that's romantic? Oh, I'd like to go for a walk in a park that's really nice. A really nice park with really big trees. I would love to go and look at. Maybe on the walk we could hold hands and do all those nice things. I am getting super distracted because it's been like 15 minutes and I usually come in about 3 or 5. So let's continue. I know it's not a full date. Sorry. Number 8. Name 3 things that men do that turn you on. I would say, it turns me on when a man isn't afraid to not make fun of me, but, you know, tease me a little bit. Like, if I'm pointing out something I'm sort of insecure about in a joking manner, it is a turn on when they'll make a comment about it. What else? What else? So that's one thing. How about something physical? I like body hair. I would say body hair is a turn on. And what else? Well, we have something mental, something physical. How about something? Oh, and it turns me on when a guy is a good dad or wants to be a dad. That might be weird, and it might mean I'm weird. But, yeah, I think it's just such a rare thing to find a good dad these days. Well, good parent in general, probably. 3 things that women do that turn me on. This will be way easier. All right, when women wear yoga pants, when women laugh and giggle, and probably any time a girl touches me, it just makes me feel all the good tingly feelings. Am I open to changing myself for a significant other, as in surgery, my weight, style, etc.? That's a tough one. I think it would have to depend on the significant other and how long we were together, how committed we were to each other, but I would definitely be open to suggestions and encouragement when it comes to any of those things. I think it's a two-way street, though, so if I had a partner who wanted me to lose 10 pounds and he had 10 pounds to lose himself, I think it would be nice to do that together. As for surgery, I would never just get surgery because someone else wanted me to get surgery. I would be open to researching and exploring and thinking about it, but I would never just get on a table because I had a dominant who wanted me to. That's stupid. Sorry. If you could change a turn on to a turn off, what would you choose? Oh, that's... I mean, I was actually talking about this the other day. Being date raped, like, going out to a bar and having GHB slipped into my drink is something I've fantasized before, and I enjoy the fantasy, but afterwards, that really makes me feel guilty just because I know how much of a serious problem it is and how it can and does ruin a lot of lives. So that makes me feel pretty bad, so I guess that one is the one I would probably choose. Number 12. Have you ever felt threatened or unsafe because of your online activity? Actually, yes. There were a couple months that went by that I was getting phone calls from unknown numbers and messages saying that my number was circulating online. I could never find it anywhere. No matter what I searched, I could not find it, but I was still receiving phone calls that, you know, they didn't say that they found my pictures or audio, but they were using the surname of Lily, which was strange considering my phone voicemail has a different name on it. But, Oh my god, I am so close to coming. Sorry. I don't know why that just happened. I don't know. I think I moved my leg and it was just the perfect spot. Okay, so I failed. I failed that. I only got to question 12. That's okay. I turned the vibrator off because I get super sensitive after I come, which I think is normal, but, wow. Sorry, I get tired too. I'm going to finish the questionnaire. I don't know what the protocol is for when this fails. I am not going to restart. Okay, that felt amazing. Okay. Number 13. Do you play with yourself often? And if so, where, when, and with what? I would say about 2 to 3 times a week, I will use my vibrator while I'm in bed. And you might be wondering, why only two times a week? Honestly, I get too tired. I get tired and I lie down and I just fall asleep. It sounds really boring and not sexy, I guess, but that's the truth. When I do play with myself, it's usually at night, and it's while reading a story, usually about, non-consent, force. I actually have a story up right now. Let's see what it's called. I wasn't reading it. I was reading it before. It's called Good Little Christian Girl, which is awesome. It's in the non-consent reluctance category of literatica.com. And let's see how far I got before I had to stop. I got to the part where the mean old man, he's not that old, he's 35, was tying down, her name is Lily, actually, I feel so stupid, I'm not going to edit this, it was a total coincidence that her name was Lily in the story. Anyways, Lily is being tied down with some cord so the man can repent her sins by spanking her so much that she associates pleasure with pain. Well, that's what she thinks is happening anyway. And she's begging to be hit. Please keep going. I know I deserve it. Yeah, me too. Yeah, that's the part I got to. He hasn't even fucked her yet. He's just playing with her little cunt. I am getting distracted. Number 14. What fairy tale would you turn into a dirty story if given the chance? Fairy tale. I don't know why, but like Beauty and the Beast comes to mind, which is probably telling about me. So I'm just going to leave it at that. And number 15. When did you begin to feel like you weren't like other girls? Alright, I saved this for the last because I think it might be my most lengthy response. When did you begin to feel like you weren't like other girls? See, this is where I think there is a disconnect. I don't think I'm special. I think I'm very average, but the only difference is I've been exploring this side of me for so long that I've reached this level of openness only because it's already been a good decade since I've began. So I don't think I'm not like other girls. I think other girls were maybe just not as quick as I was to experience and explore their sexuality as I did. You never know who or what someone's doing, what they like, what they're thinking about. So I guess to answer the question, I think it was when I was about 11 or 12 that I realized I was spending a lot of my time reading stories online and trying to hide the websites I was visiting and just being sneaky and kind of stupid with the things I was doing that young. But I think I realized that when all of my other friends were way more focused on, boys their age and school dances and stuff like that, I was never interested in it. The only time I ever had a crush on a boy at school was when he was older and, yeah, and that lasted for years. I wasn't one to have crushes. I basically fell in love and then suffered through that for 3 years. But yeah, I think that was when I knew that I was a little more advanced than the girls my age, now that I'm almost 22. I would say I might even be behind other girls now, for sure. I've only had one sexual partner. I've never downloaded Tinder or wanted to really. I've never been with anybody else in any other kind of way. No kissing, no nothing. But in some other ways, I've been with way more guys than, you know, anyone in my class combined, probably, thinking about how many people have listened to my audios, enjoyed them, hopefully, or my pictures, or even, you know, some things I write, I get a lot of good responses. So I think I'm getting off topic. So what made me come to the realization? What was the experience that brought you to that point? Well, I would say it's probably the first time I ever spoke to someone who I was talking to online. And I don't know how to say it without coming off as egotistical, but I just knew that I was like nothing they've ever experienced before. And I feel like I've gotten the same feedback over and over that I'm not the best and I'm not the top pick of the litter, but what I have to offer is something unique and special and different than other girls. I have something real. I have something that I want so badly, that I've always wanted so badly, that it comes through in everything I say and everything I do, every picture I take, everything. And I hope that's true. And I hope I never lose it. I hope I never turn into one of these people that think sex is dirty or gross or should be kept a secret. I just really like celebrating it. I like sharing with it. I like experiencing what other people experience. I love it. So the first time I spoke to someone and actually heard them, you know, orgasm, and it was because of me. That was the first proof I ever got that I was, you know, that I was actually doing whatever I was doing right, that it wasn't just words on a screen, people saying that I'm, you know, that I got them hard, or I'm obviously phrasing it differently, but it was the first evidence I had that I was able to be that sexual person I wanted to be. And it's led me to this point. So if I'm not like other girls, then I'm sorry to whoever is listening that's not experiencing me. And if other girls are like me, that makes me happy. It doesn't make me upset that I'm not special. It makes me happy that other girls are experiencing the same liberating, joyful, confidence-boosting feelings I feel every day by expressing this side of me. It might not be totally healthy, it might not be safe, it might not be smart, but it has benefited me and my life very, very well. I wouldn't be who I am right now if I never Googled that first Google when I was however many years old, then I would be someone completely different today. Someone who is probably not as open and honest. Someone who is probably, you know, just like their parents who taught me that blowjobs were for whores and all this other crazy nonsense. So I'm happy with who I am and I'm happy with how I've turned out. And I hope other girls are like me And if they're not, I'm sorry. So those were all the questions. I'm sorry I couldn't wait. I really tried to, and I thought I was doing all right. There were a few moments there that I thought I was gonna go over the edge, but it turns out talking about, being threatened or unsafe online, that's what tipped it over. So please don't take that as a message that I want to be stalked, because I don't. And if you do that to me, I will, I don't know, I'll change my number again. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I hope this was all right. And I'm going to upload it just like this. So the next one will be better. It has to be, because this was a disaster. Bye.